Thank you. I'll do the roll call for you, Mary.
Thank you, Glenn.
Jeff Newman?
Yes, I'm here.
Jonathan Robinson? Ching Chow?
Present.
Adrian Kinder is absent, sent his apologies, and there's no proxy. Tim Ruiz?
I'm here.
Stefan Van Gelder will be late on the call. Andrei Koleshnikov?
Yes, I'm here.
Zahid Jamil has sent his apologies, and he's given his proxy to John Berard. John Berard?
Yes, I'm here.
Christina Rosette?
Yes, I'm here.
David Taylor?
Yep, here.
Paul Fulrich Knobben has sent his apologies and given his proxy to Hemi Wagner. Hemi Wagner?
Present.
Rafik Damak is absent and has given his proxy to Wendy Seltzer. William Drake is absent and has given his proxy to Mary Wong. Debbie Hughes?
Here.
Wendy Seltzer? Not on the call yet. Rosemary Sinclair?
Here.
Mary Wong?
Yes, I'm here.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes, I'm here.
Carlos Aguirre?
Here. Yes, I am.
Jonathan Robinson has just joined the call. Alan Greenberg and Han Chuan Lee are not on the call. For staff, we have Alexander Kulik, Margie Milam, Christina Nordstrom, Maggie Serrard, our new compliance director, David Olive, Avery Doria is our guest, Rob Hogarth, Liz Gaster, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Jury. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mary.
Thank you, Glenn. And everybody, just so you know, Stefan is on a plane right now, so he will be joining us sometime during the call and taking back the chair. So I will be chairing in his absence until such time. Welcome to everybody, particularly welcome to Maggie and to Avery. The agenda is up on the wiki as well as on the screen here, and I guess what we can do is go straight through the administrative matters just very quickly. You probably have noticed that we've taken out the item and the language about disclosures of interest because of the changes approved by the council recently that has made that particular agenda item redundant. So do we have any statements of interest that are being updated, Glenn or anybody?
No, there are no updated statements of interest, Mary.
Thanks, Glenn. Does anybody want to review or amend the agenda, item 1.2? I assume not, except that just a note that the two chairs of the JAS working group, which comes later on in the session today, are not able to make this call, so it may be that we might need to defer that particular discussion item when we get there.
Hey, Mary, but, this is Jeff. Hey, sorry about that. I'm not on Adobe. I think we'd still like to talk about the JAS even without the chairs being here, if we could.
Yeah, I see no reason why we could not. So what we might do is defer the update and take comments from council members. Is that good, Jeff?
Yes, please. Thank you.
No problem. So item 1.2 is down. 1.3, the minutes from the last council meeting were approved on the 21st of April, and I believe they have been posted, and Glenn sent a note to that effect. Any comments or observations on that?
No.
I don't see anybody on Adobe. I don't hear anybody. So let's move then right into the next item, item 2, the Who Is Studies, where we had a motion that was deferred from the last meeting at the request of the IPC, and a proposed amendment was suggested, I believe it was it Jonathan, and accepted as friendly by the proposer and seconder of the motion. which would be John and Debbie, and the motion is now up on the screen. Since this motion's been on the agenda for two meetings, I hope it's okay if in reading the motion, I'm going to ask John to read the motion, but perhaps we can skip the whereas clauses and go right to the resolved. Because unless I'm mistaken, I think the amended proposal comes in the resolved clauses. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'd be more than happy to do that. I'd like to first thank a small group led by Chuck Gomes and Steve Del Bianco that helped drive, I won't call it consensus, but the collaboration that resulted in the modifications, and I hope with a motion that we can get behind and get on with, it still carries the same intent as when it was first offered, which is to shed a little bit more light by generating a little bit more data, a little bit more insight into the who is so that we can make smarter decisions. And so in this motion, we resolve to defer consideration of the Who Is Registrant Identification Study until the June 9th, 2011 meeting, and request that any applicable motion in regard be submitted not later than, as appropriate, June 1st, 2011. Further resolve that the Council request ICANN staff to amend the study to include the registry proposed changes, as noted, and to proceed with the Who Is Privacy and Proxy Abuse Study, as described in the staff Section 5 2010 report as amended, using the vendor selection process described in the same report. Further resolve that the Council requests ICANN staff to proceed with the Who Is Privacy and Proxy Relay and Reveal pre-study survey as proposed in staff's February 11, 2011 report. Further resolve that the Council requests that the Board authorize additional funding for fiscal year 2012 for Who Is Studies to make up any shortfall of $130,000 between the amount of at least $400,000 that was allocated for Who Is Studies in the fiscal year 2011 and remains unspent, and the total amount needed to conduct the Who Is Misuse Study, $150,000, the Who Is Registrant Identification Study, $150,000 if subsequently approved, the Proxy Privacy Abuse Study, $150,000, and the Proxy and Privacy Free Study, $80,000, for a total of $530,000. Further resolved, in recognition that there is a substantial amount of coordination needed to direct this research, that the staff be given the discretion to manage the studies serially or in parallel with the goal of expediting completion of the studies as efficiently as possible.
Thank you, John.
Hello, Mary.
Yes.
It's Stefan here. I'm here now.
Oh, good. Welcome.
Thank you. Apologies for being late, and thank you for
Not
taking care of things while I was unable to join the call.
Not at all. Yeah. We've
gone.
Yeah, we've just had John read the proposed amended motion and was just about to proceed to the discussion. So
okay,
you
great.
Have the chair from here.
Thank you very much, Mary, and hello, everybody. And let's start the discussion then on this motion, which I just heard John reading. So would anyone like to say anything on the motion itself? Please raise your hand on Adobe or speak up. I see no hands. Hearing no one, we shall proceed with the vote. Would anyone oppose to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, please carry out a voice vote on the motion.
Yes, I will do that, Stefan. Everyone in favor of the motion, please say
A.
Is there anybody who is against the motion? If they are, please say nay.
Nay.
Could you please identify yourself?
Yeah, this is Tim Ruiz.
Thank you, Tim. Are there any abstentions? Stefan, the motion has passed with one no vote from the contracted party house.
Thank you very much, Glenn. So we now move on to item 2.3. Is Avery on the call?
Yes. Avery is on the call, but she may be on mute.
Sorry. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome,
okay,
Avery.
So I wasn't on mute. I was just speaking too loud. Thank you.
Okay, great to have you on the call. Let me just give a very short introduction. This item stems from the Who Is work that has been going on, and both Avery and Chuck have been working to propose a few next steps for the Who Is requirements. There's been a few exchanges of emails, and we thought it would be a good idea to ask either Avery or Chuck, obviously, because of the time at the meeting in the States, it was easier for Avery to join us than it was for Chuck, and Avery has very kindly accepted to join us and just give us a brief run-through on any suggestions for next steps on this item. So, Avery, please take it away.
Okay, thank you. It's a real pleasure being back at a council meeting on the phone. Fortunately, I was in Europe, so I did have time on my side. In the conversations that Chuck had and I had, we came very close to almost complete agreement. We have one small point we disagreed on, and I'll mention that as I go through. One thing I wanted to say in starting out is that this document is, in my opinion, an extremely good document for someone who, you know, wants to get beyond the Who Is as a protocol, Who Is as a service, and look at what might be the requirements one would face if one were to do everything that people have talked about it, have talked about having Who Is do at some point. And just to go back a little bit historically on why we asked for it, it had very much to do with sort of the same trend that's going through now with the studies that the council is doing and sort of getting the facts of what was involved in various things if people wanted to proceed with them. So the studies had to do with some of the policy and behavioral aspects. This Who Is study had to do with, you know, the protocol behavior and the service behaviors and basically what tools would be required if one were to make policies of various sorts. And then the other work that's been going on that the GNSO is involved in is the joint group with ESSAC on the IRD requirements in terms of how does one handle IDN or non-ASCII information. So those three things are all sort of the same kind of things in terms of trying to gather the facts so that when you all came down to making decisions on policies and such, there was that. So in looking at the report, it basically is from the perspective of requirements analysis. And so there's a lot of language in there that appears to be conclusion or appears to be assumptions, and that's sort of in the nature of a requirements document. What is unclear and what was never done after that is to see to what extent these requirements are indeed the community's requirements, to see to what extent the assumptions are the assumptions that the community has, the GNSO community and the wider community. So Chuck first took the first crack at making a suggestion, and he recommended that an informal survey be developed and performed, and that a drafting team be formed to develop this survey. This was the one place where he and I didn't quite agree, but were close. I tend to favor a more formal notion of survey, where the proper rules of survey analysis are maintained so that one truly understands the data they're looking at. And Chuck didn't disagree too strongly, but was concerned about the time and the expense such formality would involve. So in terms of that, that was sort of the difference between the two of us on this particular recommendation, but certainly that there be a recommendation to look at these requirements and see to what extent these requirements are indeed the requirements that the GNSO and ICANN community at large would want to make policy on. So the other issue is, of course, in looking at these requirements, some of them were discussed before the IRD working group had been created, and therefore, you know, there's sort of a be careful not to sort of duplicate the work that's being done in that working group while working on this one. So that was basically the point of this, to look at, is the WHOIS protocol adequate? Is the WHOIS service as defined adequate? Do we have the right tools for it? Do we need new tools for it? And Chuck suggested a number of questions that could be gone through in the survey if you form this drafting team. I don't know if you want me to go through those or whether this is something that could, perhaps would be passed to a team that worked on this further. I'm happy to read out, you know, his set of questions if that would work.
Come into the list now, Ivory. That's probably most helpful.
Okay. So read the list now. Okay. So the first one was, current WHOIS protocol is sufficient and no major changes are needed. And basically he was suggesting in his informal study that it be a three-part, I agree, I disagree, I'm not sure. And whereas I was recommending a five-point study done more formally, but questions remain the same. Another question, WHOIS contact information by users whose local languages cannot be represented in U.S. ASCII 7, and that's part of the work that IRD is doing. The current WHOIS service is deficient in a number of ways, data accuracy, reliability, accessibility, readability. Another comment would be the WHOIS current WHOIS service might decrease in reliability and usefulness over time. Another point, current set of WHOIS tools are inadequate to provide the necessary functions to support existing and proposed WHOIS service policy requirements. The current set of WHOIS tools is inadequate for use in an IDN environment. Again, this is an issue that the IRD working group is looking at. A mechanism is needed to find WHOIS servers. There needs to be standard WHOIS query structure. A standard data structure for WHOIS query responses needs to be defined. A set of standardized error messages and handling procedures for error conditions should be defined. Query capabilities need to be expanded. WHOIS data should be displayed both in native script and Latin characters. This is an issue that the IRD working group has been discussing, which incidentally I'm on. Authenticated WHOIS access should be possible. Access controls would be a useful feature for WHOIS. It would be helpful if WHOIS access was auditable. There is community consensus on all the WHOIS requirements in the report, and that's, I believe, Section 6 of the report lists. Yes, 6 has a draft compilation of potential new requirements. It goes Requirement 1 through Requirement 11, and then there's a couple extras that were suggested by the registry's stakeholder group. And the value of making major changes to the existing WHOIS services would not justify the expense and effort required to do so. So those were questions that were suggested by Chuck. I agree that they're good questions to have asked. And so basically, as I say, in concluding, I definitely recommend this report to people in terms of reading it to sort of get beyond the high level of what WHOIS as a protocol and WHOIS as a service can do. It's sort of a review of, in order to make policy, perhaps the service and the protocol need to have the right tools. Are the right tools in existence? Do the right tools need to be created? And, you know, the policy decisions are in your hands. And that's about what we had, is that as a recommendation as a place to start.
Thanks very much, Avery. Does anyone have any questions for Avery? Jonathan, I see your hand is up.
Thanks, Stefan. Avery, thanks. That was a useful overview of what you've done so far. I'm just thinking back to a discussion we had on the registry stakeholder group call yesterday, and Chuck really raised the point that there seemed to be quite a strong view or within the technical community that the WHOIS protocol is substantially dated and needs revision or development. And I'm not sure if you've discussed this with him or if this has come up as well, and that somewhere in the technical community it would be very good to build a bridge between and effectively build a bridge between the technical community and the policy work that's going on. And I think he was wondering whether there was some way in which some from within the GNSO could meet with IETF or the relevant technical community and try and understand concerns and issues and really form some kind of synchronized views across the two. So that's really just a kind of comment and a question, and maybe you've got a response to that, or Stefan, but maybe we can come up with some ideas how to deal with that.
If you like, I can say a few words on that.
Yes, please.
Okay. Indeed, part of, though, as I say, I'm a member of the IETF community as well as the ICANN community, not this particular working. They had a group back in 2001 on looking at who is, and certainly VeriSign has done a lot in terms of contributing new protocols. There's definitely a recognition inside the IETF at a past point that WHOIS protocol was insufficient for the WHOIS service. They then did a bunch of work. There is the protocol, Chris, that is created, yet it's still not certain that there's a match between the requirements you all would have from a policy perspective to the requirements that the IETF would understand. And one of the things that shows up frequently in requirements analysis and discussion between ICANN and the IETF is first for the policy people to have decided what it is they think they need, and then to talk to the technical community and see how it is that those could be met, what language would explain them, because very often we find that the requirements in ICANN and the technical language of the requirements are actually, you know, different languages and different ways of explaining similar things. So there really is a sort of progression. At the moment, I don't think there's anyone in the IETF that's looking at the WHOIS protocol. There's certainly no one looking at updating the WHOIS protocol. But certainly starting a discussion within the IETF community, once the ICANN community has a first notion of what its real requirements are, would be something I'd strongly recommend, and I'd certainly be ready to help with, and others could too, from the, you know, people who have feet both in IETF and ICANN.
Okay, thanks, Avery. Jonathan, is that sufficient answer to your question?
Yes, I suppose that it is. Thank you very much. Sorry, that's poorly phrased. Yes, thank you. But I guess the question is, what practically do we do? Is it enough to do to go ahead with a survey? Does that formulate enough? Will that produce the kind of policy-based steer that the technical community might require? Is really the final point. Will we, as we are going now, will we do enough to guide the technical community, or is there something more that needs to be done with the GSO, or should we be meeting with the IETF now, or should we be getting on with the survey and so on, and then proceeding from there?
Yeah. This is Avery. If I could recommend, it would be take the requirements that are in 6, use the survey to figure out which one of those you have, then send those over to the IETF through a liaison relationship and start the discussion at that point. While you have some requirements that may or may not be requirements, it's perhaps a wider discussion. So I'd say narrow it down to the requirements that you have and then start the discussion on how they might be met would be my recommendation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any further questions or comments on this? Okay, Avery, thank you very much for joining the call. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, and I will leave the phone call now, and it was a pleasure talking to y'all.
Liz, can I make one just quick comment before Avery leaves?
Yes, you can, Liz.
Sure.
Thank you. Avery, great overview. Thank you. I also wanted to just quickly mention, and I put the note in the chat, too, that we've been facilitating some technical discussions with the community on the WHOIS protocol and have written a draft paper on a web-based WHOIS protocol that two RIRs, Aaron and Ripe, are using different versions of based on a REST, an HTTP-based protocol that may hold some promise for WHOIS for future work at the IETF. And these are open technical discussions that we are, you know, just providing a sort of a forum for the community to discuss, and that might be just another link or thing for this group to consider as we move forward. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. Avery, once again, thank you, and thank you for making time to be with us. I know you have to be somewhere else now, so thanks, and we'll move on to item three, which we moved from item two to item three to accommodate the fact that Avery could be on the call. This is our regular pending projects item. This is a slightly special case this time because we have a motion that we are going to be considering, and that motion was made by Jeff. I know, Jeff, I think you're either in a car or traveling or somewhere. So are you on the call?
Yes, I am, and I can give the update. I just can't read the motion.
Okay, so perhaps as seconder of the motion, I can just read it for you and then let you give any updates that you feel are necessary.
Sure.
So the motion is to terminate the Policy Process Steering Committee, and it reads this like this. Whereas in October 2008, the GNSO Council established a framework, CGNSO Council Improvement Implementation Plan, with a link provided for implementing the various GNSO improvements identified and approved by the ICANN Board of Directors on 26 June 2008, links provided. Whereas that framework included the formation in January 2009 of two steering committees, the Operations Steering Committee, OSC, and the Policy Process Steering Committee, PPSC, to charter and coordinate the efforts of five community work teams in developing specific recommendations to implement the improvements. Whereas the PPSC established two work teams, including the Working Group Work Team, which was chartered to develop a new GNSO working group model that improves inclusiveness, improves effectiveness, and improves efficiency, and the Policy Development Process Work Team, which was chartered to make recommendations concerning the development of and transition to a new PDP. Whereas the Working Group Work Team has already completed its tasks, whereas the PDP work team has worked diligently to develop the proposed new GNSO policy development process and expects to deliver a final report soon, whereas submitting the PDP work team report to the PPSC would add additional delay to the completion and approval of the new GNSO PDP, whereas a standing committee for improvements implementation, the SCI, has been created and will be responsible for reviewing and assessing the effective functioning of recommendations provided by the Operational Steering Committee, OSC, and the Policy Process Steering Committee, PPSC. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the GNSO Council hereby terminates the PPSC and expresses its gratitude and appreciation to the PPSC for their dedication and commitment. Resolved, the GNSO Council requests the charter of the PDP work team to be updated from the policy development process team shall be responsible for making recommendations concerning the development of and transition to a new PDP for PPSC review, underlined. To the policy development process team shall be responsible for making recommendations concerning the development of and transition to a new PDP for the GNSO Council's review, underlined. Resolved, further, the GNSO Council hereby instructs the SCI to amend its charter approved by the GNSO Council on April 7, 2011, link provided to include recommendations provided by the PDP work team as approved by the GNSO Council, in addition to those recommended by the OSC and PPSC as approved by the GNSO Council. And with that, Jeff, if you'd like to give an update, please.
Sure. So the PDP work team is on schedule to deliver a final report within the next month or so. And as the motion is aware of clauses state, we think just adding the policy process steering committee in the middle of that between the PDP work team and the council will probably just add a layer of delay. The resolve clause is really, aside from terminating the PPSC, are really just conforming changes in both the charter of the PDP work team and the charter of the SCI committee to make sure that the PDP work team itself can deliver changes to the council. The council will still vote on it, and anything that's unresolved, the council can elect to then submit directly to the SCI to work out. So it's what we discussed at the end of last call, and I hope it's pretty non-controversial.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Does anyone have... Jonathan, is your hand still up from the previous item, or do you have something...
Sorry, Stefan, I'll put it down. Apologies.
No problem at all. Does anyone have anything they want to discuss on this motion before we vote on it? Okay. Is anyone opposed to us taking a voice vote on this? In that case, Glenn, please do a voice vote on this motion.
Certainly, Stefan. All those in favor of the motion, please say A.
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 And is that for the proxies as well? Anybody in who is not in favor of the motion, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Stefan, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And with that, we shall move on to item four. And there is a motion there that was made by Jonathan, seconded by Olga. And it is a motion on the global outreach recommendations. And I believe it's... Can I ask, Jonathan, can I ask you to just read through the motion before we discuss it?
Yes, I can do that. I'm just struggling to find my emotion in front of us. Here we go. Thank you very much. You want the whereas clauses, Steph, in the full motion?
If you can read through the full motion, I know it's a bit long, but no longer than the one I've just read, and it does help people listening in if they have the context.
Whereas in October 2008, the GNSO Council established a framework for implementing the various GNSO improvements, identified and approved by the ICANN Board of Directors on the 26th of June 2008. Whereas that framework included the formation in January 2009 of two steering committees, the OSC and the PPSC, to chart and coordinate the efforts of five community work teams in developing specific recommendations to implement the improvements. Whereas the OSC established three work teams, including the Constituency and Stakeholder Group Operations Work Team, which were chartered to focus on specific operational areas addressed in the BGC report recommendations at URL. Whereas one of the recommendations in the BGC report was to develop and implement a targeted outreach program to explore the formation of new constituency groups. And where the Stakeholder Group Operations Work Team was tasked with developing the recommendations on a global outreach program and submitted the document to OSC for consideration in January 2011. Whereas the OSC submitted to the GNSO Council on 14th of February 2011 the document, whereas the OSC submitted to the GNSO Council on 14th of February 2011 the document recommendations to develop a global outreach program to broaden participation in the GNSO at URL, whereas the OSC recommendations describe a global outreach strategy to relevant members of the public, particularly non-English speakers and those from developing countries or regions, and for development of global outreach programs aimed at increasing participation both from current members of the ICANN community as well as potential members, particularly non-English speakers. Whereas on 24th of February 2011, the GNSO Council acknowledged receipt of the document by the OSC and directed staff to post the document for 45 days in the ICANN public comment forum at URL. Whereas ICANN staff produced a summary and analysis document of the four comments received and posted to the forum at web address. Now therefore be it resolved that the GNSO Council directs the OSC to ask the CSG working team to review the summary and analysis document as well as the comments and make any changes to the proposed recommendations as are deemed appropriate or to make those changes directly as it sees fit.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. I think this is clearly a very important topic, especially for non-English speakers, and we all know that those who don't speak English are at a slight disadvantage, to say the least, in the ICANN community, especially when we're dealing with new documents or trying to follow meetings. So it is an important topic. Is there any further discussion on this before we come to vote on this motion?
Definitely, Jonathan here. Just one point was raised in our registry stakeholder group meeting yesterday, and that relates to the costs of implementation here. And I suppose that there was clear understanding that the goals of the outreach were supported, but there was also a recognition that costs, with everything we do, may be a factor, and it just needs to be understood what impact that might have in the future. I'm not sure that it's something that could be answered now, but there was an awareness that the cost of doing this can't be overlooked.
Yeah, good point. I think the motion, it may not be directly relevant to the motion itself, obviously, which is just approving or just continuing the procedure that's been set in motion after comments have been received. But it cannot be, the cost issue cannot be overlooked. Olga, I see your hand is up. Perhaps you have a comment on this.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, the point about cost was extensively discussed in our working team, which I chaired, and also with the OSC. The idea behind this document is mainly to work in coordination in between ICANN, the different stakeholder groups, the constituencies, supporting organizations, and the local communities. So it's not about so much money involved, but it's a lot, some work involved about coordination and being in contact and having the documentation perhaps in several languages. And also every time that a meeting is held in another country, they're doing some work previously with the local community, local universities, local training courses that already exist, and do some linkage in between them and the ICANN community and the ICANN meeting. It's mainly coordination, I would say, not that much cost involved in that. Some coordination may cost some, but shouldn't be a problem. That's the idea behind the document.
Thank you very much, Olga. Did you look at translation costs as well?
Well, that's the point. The translation is done by ICANN, and I think that ICANN is doing a very good job in that, and that we have several documents. The fact that we have found, especially in developing countries, is although the fact that the documents are translated, nobody gets to know them, and nobody gets to understand what they mean. It's not only that it's in Spanish, but if I give some documents to people I know here, for example, in South America, maybe they just don't understand, not because of the language, because of the concepts that are involved in it, and because of the several names and the whole process, that it's not so easy to understand. For me, it took some time, although I speak English. So that's the idea, to have some workshops or some communication with local universities, local people who is doing training, and have some previous kind of training or points of contact for explaining the concepts behind the documents. And then you can read the document. Maybe it's in Spanish or English, but you can get the idea, because it's not so easy for someone who is not so involved. So because we have seen in some meetings in other countries that it's mainly us going to the meeting and the local community not that much involved. And that's really a shame, because the effort of doing the meetings all over the world, it's a high effort and a lot of money invested by ICANN. And we think it could be more used by the local communities through this coordination, previous work done by this outreach committee.
Yeah, thank you very much, Olga. I think obviously some very important points. I think it may be a question of what's the cost of doing it versus what's the cost of not doing it, and you know, leaving people out, not being inclusive enough, not including people. I think you touched on two very important problems for people new to the ICANN process. There's both a language problem and a content problem. Even if you do get around the language problem, which is it is difficult, then you have the problem of understanding the context and the content and what's being described and what's being discussed. So there's possibly a cost there of not doing it, just coming back to your point, Jonathan, of not doing it and not including people and not getting that diversity of both opinions and skills into the ICANN process. Does anyone else have any further comments? In that case, would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, could you please do a voice vote on this?
Certainly, Stefan. Everyone in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Is there anybody against the motion? If so, please say nay. Is anybody abstaining from the motion? Stefan, the motion is passed unanimously, hearing no abstentions and no votes.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thanks to everybody. And we will now move on to item 5. And we have the pleasure of meeting ICANN's new compliance director, Maggie Sarad, who has joined ICANN recently. There was a desire from the council to meet with Maggie and understand a little bit more about the work that she has planned for the compliance department. So, Maggie, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hello, thank you for being with us, and I believe you have a presentation that you'd like to make for the council today.
Yes, I thought it would be easy to just have a couple of visuals, and Stefan, you have an easy job on this action. There's no vote at the end of it yet. So, again, good morning, everyone. My name is Maggie Sarad, and I'm really, really pleased to be part of the I have board the ICANN on the April 4th, and I come to ICANN after about 20 years of experience in compliance, technology.
Maggie?
Yes?
I'm afraid you're breaking up, and it's very difficult to understand what you're saying. I don't know if you're phoning from a cell phone.
Yes.
Is there
all right. I removed the earpiece. Is this better?
Yeah, it sounds better now.
Okay, let me go by the window. I'm going to be shouting. Everyone in this apartment complex is going to be hearing me at 4 a.m.
But perhaps can I ask you to start again, because really it was impossible to understand what you said.
Sure. What I started to say is that I'm really pleased to be part of the ICANN staff and the ICANN community, so thank you for bringing me on board. I come to ICANN after about 20 years of experience in compliance, technology, program management, and global business operations. And why is this important in my role here today is because the depth and breadth I bring to the team, guys, I'm not a lawyer. So I bring a lot of the applied, a lot of the cross-functional collaboration and business common sense that to the team that today is, I think, lacking from that aspect. I have been, my recent assignment was most recently with Nissan North America, where I have served as a senior manager positions from information systems and a VUP and synergy departments. The VUP and synergy departments at Nissan are very focused on process improvements, business improvements, and strategic support. This role specifically was obtained after I received my Master Black Belt in Six Sigma. So once I got certified, I had the opportunity to lead multiple strategic organization projects. And as you know, it's a very global organization, so it's definitely very cross-functional. And we focused on several business opportunities with high focus on delivering quantifiable results, improving quality of operations, and drive customer satisfaction. So I'm looking forward to bringing those qualities and those strengths into the team where I am. I am also fluent in English, French, and Arabic. I'm going to the next slide now, on slide 4. You had specifically asked me in the email to share with you my compliance philosophy. I want to admit, guys, this is the first time anyone asked me about philosophy. In the business world, they ask you about your mission, your vision, and your objective. But it made me stop and think here, you know, what is the philosophy that I bring into this contractual compliance role? Actually, it's a very simple philosophy that I apply in anything and everything I do. It's about communication. You cannot communicate enough. I really believe in keeping it simple. What I mean by keeping it simple is once we have, and this is what I'm doing, once we have clear process roles and responsibilities, all that is nothing but foundation, keeping it simple. All about fact-based decisions. The decisions you bring into this role or any role in the business world has to be fact-based. It's not just about opinions. Accountability is very, very critical here. Today, ICANN has ensured through contract parties, we have contractual requirements. So clear roles and responsibilities within the contract and clear accountabilities are critical to the success of the compliance role that we hold. So also on the top, I put to ensure and enforce compliance. Because what that means is that we're not just about following and enforcing compliance. I would like to see us more upfront, proactively engaged with the community where we are reaching out, we are whether training, educating, more visibility to what it is. How can we be self-compliant? How can we be engaged? How can we be working with everyone up front so that the latter part of compliance, which is the audit, the enforcement, and all that, will come naturally? So in order for me to understand all that within the ICANN community, some of the simple questions I ask here, you know, basically as I've been here on board 4 weeks now, who are the stakeholders? How do we maintain alignment? It's basically understanding the environment and what can go wrong. So I've started asking questions and networking within the ICANN world to understand, you know, past complaints or issues or histories. But what are we doing on this and how can we be successful? Another request from the GNSO Council was, what is my 30, 60, and 90-day plan? At this point, guys, I'm just telling you, it's very simple and logical. I am currently supporting the current compliance activities. You know, business as usual has to continue going. However, my immediate or short-term plan is really to understand the ICANN model and the stakeholders. It's a whole different world. I've not worked in an environment like this. The stakeholders, the diversity, the complexity of this environment. But it's also interesting. So the other thing I'm really working on is assessing current state. So today we have processes, we have systems, we have all these what we call infrastructure, including my team, that is fulfilling this role. So I'm understanding who we are And with the team, we're trying to identify opportunities for efficiencies and effectiveness. So you see, my focus in the short term is basically on getting to know the ICANN, the stakeholders, and my team and the processes behind us. But most importantly, which is on slide 6, I do not want us to work in silos. And I've already reached out, like I said, several organizations within several team members within the ICANN organization. It's really important to hear from the stakeholders. So I would really would like to hear from you, and I've added my email in here. What are your expectations, interests, and concerns on contract compliance? When you send your voice and those expectations, interests, and concerns, be more than happy to work with you to better understand them and see what it will take to get to those. So today I'm reaching out to the community saying, good morning, I'm glad to be on board, and I see us collaborating and moving forward into the next phases of contractual compliance.
Okay. Thank you, Maggie. And can I open it up now for discussion and interaction? Does anyone from the council want to ask Maggie anything? Looks like your presentation was very comprehensive. Jonathan, you have your hand up.
Hi, Stefan. Thank you. And thank you, Maggie, for a helpful and interesting presentation. It's great to have you on board. It looks like you bring some unique and strong skills to the whole operation. I'm aware of a couple of recent breach notices that have gone out. And the impression is that these breach notices may be setting, if you like, perhaps precedent is the wrong word, but a different tone and a different approach to that which has gone before. And they appear to have there's a sense that these might have been issued more speedily than perhaps necessary without enough prior dialogue. I wonder if you could comment on that. There's also a note in, I think, into ICANN from the registry stakeholder group seeking some further clarification on that anyway, and it'd be interesting to hear if there's likely to be a response to that. So really I've got a couple of questions. Is there a change in the way enforcement is going to take place, or is that just a coincidence with your arrival? Just some comments on that, really, and if you're able to say anything, and it may be too early in your tenure, I appreciate.
Now, all I can speak to, Jonathan, is my recent exposure, which is over the past couple of weeks. It's too soon for me to introduce a change. Like I said, I'm still learning who the stakeholders are and what the environment is and how we work as a community. The only thing I can speak to based on my exposure over the last few days about the recent notices is there has got to be a trust in the relationship we have. And I'm not going to speak to the details of those. All I can tell you is that the due diligence, the fact-finding, this is why I say my philosophy is fact-finding, and I have observed that in my I've been sitting in on those discussions as we are internally reviewing those notices. And, again, the trust in the relationship has got to be there, and that's what I want to bring to the table. And the communication, the team agrees here, and I've heard it said, is that maybe we should have communicated stronger on certain things or more transparently. But there has not been a change, and the process is being followed, as I have seen and reviewed, that exists today. That's all I can speak to at this moment. And there will be more information that will be published on the web that the team talked about.
Thank you, Maggie. Any further questions? I'm surprised. I expected more questions, but
I'm seemingly unable to raise my hand here, but Wendy Seltzer here.
Wendy, please go ahead.
And one of the interests that the non-commercial stakeholders have is, since compliance costs are ultimately borne by domain registrants through the registration fees, wondering how you factor in the cost of compliance into efforts, and particularly whether the you're planning for the compliance department to be discussing sort of compliance costs as new registry agreements are being considered. The costs of monitoring various restrictions.
Wendy, I'll be honest with you. I have not looked at that level of details as it relates to the cost concern. But if you don't mind sending me an email specifically with your concern here, what I've heard you say, if I may rephrase, is that today the cost of the compliance department is based basically from the registrant, and you're questioning if that's going to be inclusive of registries. Is that, did I hear you correct?
Not quite, and maybe I phrased it imprecisely. I'm wondering, as we consider various new kinds of registry contracts
mm-hmm.
with different compliance demands, will the cost of monitoring those contracts be included in the discussion of, are these reasonable things to ask?
I don't see why not. Those discussions will be part of that, but again, we have not started looking at that aspect of it. So if it's all right with you, once I get to that level, I will make sure to see, you know, again, send me a note on that, and when we reach that point, and I can just look at it, what is it, what does it mean, and then get back to you with an update.
Is that okay, Wendy?
Thanks. Yes, thank you for your openness to the conversation.
Thank you very much. Jonathan, did you put your hand up again?
Yes, and Stefan, it's just a very brief comment and possibly something I should have said earlier, that the kind of sentiments that Maggie addressed, I understand that it's very early days, but that an effective and strong compliance function, but one that is based on relationships, trust, and good communication, sounds to me like a very healthy way to work. So it really just sounds like something at a personal level I'd endorse, and I probably should have said it earlier, so thank you.
Thanks very much for making that point. Any further discussion? In which case, Maggie, thank you very much once again for joining us. I know the hour is very early for you, and I think it was very useful for us on the council to have this introduction with you and understand more about both who you are and how you plan to work. So once again, thank you. Merci. Shukran. Just cover the three languages that you speak. And,
you're welcome.
We'll speak to you very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity. And you do have my email, so please let me know what you're thinking, and promise I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
And have a nice day, everyone.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So item six now, and that is the item on the consumer choice and competition, the board resolution that came out of the Cartagena meeting, which we've pushed back a couple of times because our agenda has been tight. Rosemary Sinclair had volunteered to cover this, and I know Rosemary has done a lot of work on this. So, Rosemary, perhaps I can let you give the council an update on that work.
Thank you, Stefan. It's a pleasure to do that. I have been having discussions with people over the last couple of months about this, bearing in mind the first reaction to this item, which was that there were substantial pieces of work on our agenda and that we weren't able to get to this issue. The discussions have been held with Bruce Tonkin from the board, and also in a very preliminary way, I should say, with ALAC. I've not as yet spoken with GAC or CCNSO. But where I'm at, given the range of views about where this piece of work fits into the overall ICANN agenda and its importance, my suggestion, which I'll formalise in a report, but I wanted to wait until we'd had this evening's discussion, my suggestion is that we hold an open workshop in Singapore to discuss a range of matters. I think, firstly, we should just go over what I'll call the what of this item, this board resolution. And in fact, if I go back to the affirmation of commitments, the what, and I'm quoting now from the AOCs, says, if and when new GTLDs have been in operation for 1 year, ICANN organises a review that examines the extent to which the new TLDs have promoted competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. And that's the working title of this particular subject. So that's really the what of this whole discussion. My suggestion is that in the workshop we could actually include a section on the context, which picks up a number of contributions that go to really why we should talk about these issues. I think if we go this way, then we might overcome the issue of how we do this work, the resource issue, in a couple of ways. The first, of course, is that some time has now passed and other things have been advanced. And the second is that by holding the workshop, perhaps we narrow the scope, get a bit of clarification, achieve some agreement about some of the matters, and then we ask for some staff resource in terms of some background research, if that's required. We're then left with the who issue, because the board resolution actually says that the board's going to seek advice from ALAC, GAC, the CCNSO, and ourselves on a matter that really relates to GTLDs. So it seems that we're heading in the direction of some sort of cross-community effort, but I'm going to suggest in my report that the first thing we do is have this workshop in Singapore and get members from all the groups that the board has referred to discuss the broad range of matters that I've outlined. So I think that's probably as much as I need to say by way of introduction, except to just make the point that a number of people on this council offered some number of meetings ago to assist with this work, and I would propose, if those people are still in agreement, that we work as a, and I'm not sure what the right title is, it's not really a drafting group, but a group to identify and scope out the workshop and think of who the contributors might be and encourage them to participate. I think I'll leave it at that, Stefan, if that's okay with you.
Thank you very much, Rosemary, for some excellent suggestions. It can be an informal group to answer your first or your last question. I think the idea of producing a report to prepare for a workshop at the next ICANN meeting in June in Singapore, to me personally, sounds like a very good way of moving forwards. I think it, the way you've outlined it, does help address the first issue that the council had with this, which was the resource issue, and it may enable the council to not respond to the board as we'd initially discussed, saying that we do not have the resources to even consider this resolution at all, which is always something that we'd probably not rather not do, give that response to the board. So on a personal note, although I haven't discussed it with my group or I haven't discussed it at council level in any way, but it sounds like a very good way of moving forwards. I'd be interested to hear from other councillors what they thought. John.
Thank you, Stephen.
John Barrard, sorry.
Yes, thank you. Rosemary, thank you for your work to date on this. I suspect that the hill is going to get a little steeper now that we're starting to put some frame around what exactly it is you want to do. You said that you'd spoken to the ALAC. You socialized this idea of the open workshop. I ask only because I am hypersensitive to GAC membership acting independently on matters such as this, and I wonder if you think that GAC participation in an open workshop is realistic because of that. And the other thing is, I know that you have received from the business constituency a suggestion as to what the metrics ought to be or could be for consumer trust. I don't know if he circulated that to everybody on the council list, and I can do that if you think it's a good idea, Rosemary or Stefan. But it would be, I think, helpful even in before extending the invitation to participate, if we could frame what the issues are, as you have generally said, in terms of the what, the why, and the who. I just wanted to let everybody know that the BC has given a fair bit of thought to the metrics that might be used in measuring consumer trust, because as you can guess, consumer trust is quite an important attribute for the membership.
Mm-hmm. Okay, will I respond, Stefan, to those
points? Yes, please.
Yes. Firstly, in terms of ALAC, I did suggest the idea of the workshop to them some weeks ago, and they seemed generally supportive of that way forward. I was trying to get in touch with Olivia over the last couple of days, but I haven't managed to do so because I was told that ALAC have had some discussion on this issue. So I'll just keep trying to close that loop. In terms of the issue of GAC acting independently, I guess my preemptive response to that would be to invite them into our workshop to make sure that we were having inclusive rather than independent discussions on these issues. Thirdly, I don't recall seeing Zahid's metrics, although I remember Steve Del Bianco making a contribution to our workshop in Cartagena. So if you don't mind recirculating those thoughts, that would be good. And if I could take that as an offer to make a contribution at the workshop, that would even be better.
John, you've been called out.
I accept the responsibility of both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And perhaps the best way forward, I don't know, Rosemary, if you've got any idea of when you think you might be able to produce that report.
I was thinking, Stefan, that I might do that just in the next couple of days. I'll try and get to ALAC, but if I can't, then I'll produce it in a way that I hope the GNSO could agree that we go forward. And then I'll keep socialising that with the other groups if everybody thinks that's a suitable way of proceeding.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Unless anyone objects to moving forwards in that way, I suggest we do that, and perhaps we will then wait to hear from you in terms of that report to put out or help you put out a call for volunteers for an informal group to help you work on this. How does that sound?
That sounds great to me. This other question, do we need to go back to the board with any update, or could that be done informally with you letting them know? Or I'm just not sure how we go about that bit.
That's a very good question. My understanding from non-official discussions is that there's less of an expectation or less of a hurry now than there was to get a response, because an initial response, because the board understands that this actually entails quite a lot of work. I'm happy to put a response to the board if the council feels that one is necessary now. However, as you're in direct dialogue with Bruce anyway, perhaps we can just let you continue the work slightly before responding to the board and promising them a way forward that may actually not pan out. I mean, we're talking about a report now, which is an informal document from an informal group, so perhaps it might be better to let you get on with it just for a couple of weeks and see where you are then.
Okay.
I mean, if anyone else has any opinions, please chip in.
Yes.
These are just suggestions on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds like no one else wants to speak on this now, but if anyone else has any suggestions, then please take it to the list. And in the meantime, Rosemary, thank you very much for your continued work on this, and we look forward to hearing from you very soon.
Thanks, Stefan.
Thank you. So item 7 is an update that we requested from the co-chairs of the joint SOSE Working Group on New GTLD Applicant Support, which is dubbed the JAS. And unfortunately, today, both Rafiq Damak and Carlton Samuels, the co-chairs of the group, are unable to be with us. So we will have to forego the update. However, I did want to leave the agenda item on today's agenda because I think it's useful for us to have a discussion on the way the work of the JAS and where our understanding may be of where they are at now. It's sometimes a subject that people feel sensitive about, the idea of applicant support on both sides of the fence, if I can put it that way. So I thought it was useful for us to have a discussion if the council is willing. And with that, does anyone want to open the discussion on this?
Hey, Stefan, this is Jeff. Can I be in the queue?
Yes, Jeff, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Can I just ask a question, Stefan, first? Did the chairs, did they respond? I mean, I know Rafiq responded that he couldn't be at the meeting. Did Carlton, did he respond to you, or did you just not on?
Rafiq and Carlton didn't respond to Rafiq told me Carlton didn't respond to me directly. I don't know if he responded to Glenn.
No, he didn't respond to me either. Definitely.
So, yes. This is part of my comment. I mean, it seems like at least the feeling I'm getting is that the group doesn't, you know, even by not responding to say that they couldn't be here or trying to find an alternate that could come update the council, to me, in reading some of the emails on the list, it just seems to me that they don't believe that they are a group that was at least partially created by us, that they need to report back to us, that they need to actually send the report to us. And it just, to me, sends the wrong message, especially because they were created as a cross-working group. And, again, this goes to the whole issue of all the cross-working groups and how they work in the future and how we set them up in the future if we ever choose to set them up in the future. I think we as a council need to send a reminder to the group that what we passed in our motion, which is to report back to us on status and also to send the report to us as opposed to sending it to the board. I've seen lots of documents from the board and from the GAC looking forward to seeing the JAS or the outcome of the JAS group. And I think we really need to be careful to, one, point out that we appreciate the hard work that the JAS group is doing. I definitely appreciate the work and have seen a lot of hard work going into it. But just a reminder that the group is comprised of individuals that don't necessarily represent their entities, their companies, their wherever they're from, certainly don't represent necessarily their constituency or stakeholder group, and of course don't represent the GNSO until everything comes back to the GNSO for us to provide input on or to approve or not approve or whatever we're going to do. So I really want to see the council send a message to the group saying, we're looking forward, thank you for the hard work, we're really looking forward to seeing this, we'll move very quickly on it or as quickly as we can, but please remember to provide the report to us and then before providing it to the board. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Does anyone else want to discuss, respond? Mary.
Hi, Stefan, everybody. Thank you. I can't respond on behalf of the JAS because I'm not a member. I'm just an observer on the list. My understanding is that they do intend to present the report to the council as soon as possible. And I think this was also what Rafiq said at the update he gave in San Francisco. So if we do send the message, I think it would be merely confirming that that was the intent and remains the intent of the group, which judging by the email traffic and the discussions, there's a lot going on. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
If I could I agree with that. I think it's a more positive tone maybe than I had mentioned, but I am a little concerned that neither one of them chose to, it's not just not show up. I mean, I understand it's our conflict, but A, not to respond to us, and B, not to even try to get some alternate that's on the group to come update the group. I think that just sets a bad precedent, and I think a message should be given from the council that it's not appreciated or some maybe much more positively stated. But to me, I just think that when we invite a group to come present to us that we created, we should expect that they're going to attend or at least provide a response back to us if they can.
I'm happy to send a message to both Rafiq and Carlton saying that we were disappointed not to have them on this call. We understand that they may have other commitments, and we would like to invite them again at our next call, if that suits everyone. So silence usually means yes, so I will do that unless anyone disagrees, and hopefully we will be able to pick this discussion up at the next meeting in that case. Okay. We are going to talk about joint working groups or cross-community working groups again in a few minutes when we come to item 9 on the JIG, so we will be able to talk more generally about those groups if we need to. But just before that, we have an update from Margie on the UDRP work that is currently going on. So Margie, if you're ready, please give us that update.
Great, Stefan. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, excellent. I'll provide a really brief overview of what's been going on with respect to the issue report on the UDRP. As you recall, back in San Francisco, a drafting team was put together to kind of help assist me in gathering data for the issue report. What's happened since the San Francisco meeting is we've had several weekly meetings to try to gather this information, and it's led to some work that's happening over the next month or so. There will be a webinar that is scheduled on May 10th to get information from UDRP providers, from attorneys that represent registrants and complainants, ICANN compliance staff, registrars, to essentially solicit ideas for issues that should be addressed in the issue report. The working group has also drafted a questionnaire to send to all the UDRP providers to try to get some data on their experience in handling the UDRP. And that questionnaire is expected to provide data to the to me and to the drafting team in early May as well. So the goal from here on out is that the webinar will take place on May 10th. The drafting team is finalizing who the presenters will be on their call this Friday. After the webinar on May 10th, I will try to draft a draft issue report for publication before Singapore. We've decided to take a different approach with respect to the issue report for this topic and to try to try an approach that we've been talking about in the PDP work team, and that's essentially to do a draft issue report, have a public comment period, have a discussion at the Singapore meeting, and then publish a final issue report after the Singapore meeting. So this is a new approach that we thought would make sense in particular with this issue, and that's the timeline with the draft issue report to be published before Singapore. We would have a public comment period. We're planning a session in Singapore to explore these issues further, and then after Singapore, there'll be the final issue report. And that's essentially where we are at this point. Any questions?
No questions for Margie. Mary, is your hand still up from the last item, or do you have a question for Margie?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'll put it down now.
Okay, Margie. Thank you for that update. And
thank you.
With no further questions, let's go to item 9, which is an item that we included because, as you'll recall, we approved at the last council meeting on April the 7th the report that came out of the joint working group, the joint CCNSO-GNSO working group on single character IDNs. The group is dubbed the JIG. And we approved this before the CCNSO Council had a chance to look at the report. And after we had approved it, we were contacted by Leslie Cowley, the chair of the CCNSO, and Leslie expressed some surprise that we had approved the report and also asked us to hold off on sending it to the board because they still had some issues that they were looking to. They had some questions on the report. So my understanding is that those questions have now been answered and that the CCNSO no longer has issues, but that they have on their agenda for their next meeting. The report is on the agenda, and they will consider it then. But Leslie has asked us to hold off on sending anything to the board until they've had a chance to look at it at the council level. So that was the first part of the context I wanted to give you. There's also been a suggestion that in the meantime, while we wait for the CCNSO Council to have a chance to consider the report, we could make as a group comment as part of the comment period for the sixth version of the draft applicant guidebook. We could include comments on the JIG that are strictly relevant to the new GTLDs as part of that comment period. This whole discussion also obviously is linked to the idea of joint working groups and how they should be handled. In this case, one of the chartering organizations of the group has considered the report before the other, and that has seemingly created some problems, some minor problems. So with that, let me open this up for discussion, and I'm especially interested in seeing if there's any traction for the idea that the council, the GNSO council, could submit a comment on this as part of the DAG V6 comment period. Ching, you're first.
Hi, Stefan, and thanks very much for the explanation. And I would like to just to point out that Stefan, you also communicate this with Leslie in the very effective way. So really thanks for that. And I would like to support what you just recommend this was also discussed in yesterday's registry stakeholder group meeting, is that we can submit a comment during this public comment period for this current draft version of the AG to indicate that our continuous interest for the single character IDM. So thanks for that.
Thank you very much, Jing. Christina.
Hey, Stefan, can I just be in the queue as well?
Yes.
Whenever.
I'll add you. After Christina, yeah.
Sure.
Thanks, Stefan. I don't have a philosophical objection to submitting a comment as the council, but I think from a practical perspective that it seems to me, based on historical attempts to send letters to the board or other unanimous statements from the council, it just strikes me as something that it'll be very difficult to do something along those lines other than simply a paragraph that says, at its, whatever the date was, April 7 meeting, the GNSO council passed the following motion regarding the JAG report and, noting the IPC abstention. I just think it'll be difficult to in the time that we've got, to get unanimity on something more than that.
Okay. Thanks. Jeff?
Yeah, on that point I was going to speak to as well. I think what we can do is, or what I was envisioning at least, was just cutting and pasting those portions of the report that relate to the new GTLD program, literally copying, pasting it, noting exactly as Christina said, the vote that was taken on the date of the last meeting, April 7th, and the abstention by the ICC. I think that's that was the extent of anything new or any new kind of text, but really submitting that. I want to offer support in submitting the comment. I know I raised this issue at the last meeting when the vote was taken. I just want to reemphasize that this is an issue with all cross working groups, and I think it's a lesson learned that in the future, when there's a cross group, nothing should be sent to the board until such time as both groups or all groups that are in the cross group have a chance to consider the report. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Christina, did you want to respond? Your hand is still up, so that's why I was asking.
Sorry. I mean, just to follow up, I don't, without seeing the text, I can't comment specifically, but what Jeff is suggesting seems a reasonable way to go forward.
Okay. In that case, who's willing to cut and paste the parts of the report?
Hi, Stefan. This is Ching again. I think as the person who made the motion, I'll be happy to work on it, just to make sure that the relevant info was submitted to the public comment period. So I'll be happy to help out.
Thanks very much, Ching. If you can provide me with that content, then I shall submit the comment as we plan to make it to the council list, and if anyone objects, then we will not submit. If no one objects, we will submit it, and I will do that on behalf of the council. So, Ching, I'll wait for your input, and then once that is there, I will make sure the council has a chance to object if someone doesn't want us to send that.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on this? We're in great danger of finishing very, very early. but it's early for a lot of people, so I'm sure no one will mind. We just have one any other business item, which is a discussion of possible topics that we might want to cover for the Singapore weekend GNSO sessions. Mary, you're the person that's looking after our Singapore agenda, I believe. Is there anything there that you want to point our attention to specifically?
Sure. And one of the purposes of suggesting this as any other business item was to get suggestions from counselors earlier rather than later as to topics or sessions or other suggestions that they would have for our weekend sessions. The one thing is that I do know that a lot of people will be arriving in Singapore pretty late on Friday, partly because of the time zone and partly because a lot of people will be traveling from North America, which would entail them leaving on Thursday morning on the East Coast and arriving, you know, late after midnight Friday night. So one thought that I had, and I haven't talked about the agenda with Glenn because we're trying to collect feedback from staff, is to start the Saturday session rather later than we normally would, because normally we do, I think, a 9 o'clock start, and it seems to me that people are getting off a 24-hour flight at 1 a.m., 7 hours before that functionality could be severely impaired. So that's just to let people know that we will try to make an agenda that accommodates everybody's suggestions and requests as far as possible. We already have a few items that we know we're going to need to talk about, like the UDRP and other issues, but that we will try to do that in a way that's humane.
Thanks, Mary. Christina.
Sorry, you need to come off mute. I know that there's been a fair amount of discussion within the IPC about starting the Saturday session on later for the very reasons that Mary has noted, and to the extent it's at all possible to do that, I think that would be widely supported within our constituency. In terms of the topic, Mary's already hit on one that I think is an obvious one, the UDRP. It also seems that just from this meeting itself that we will need to talk again about the joint SOAC working group issue and figure out, you know, based on developments since San Francisco, are there points that we can at least agree on for going forward to the extent that groups like this will continue to be a reality?
Thanks very much. Tim?
Yeah, that was the cross-community working groups is also what I was going to suggest, so thanks.
Thanks, Tim. So, Mary, I suppose you need people to send you any, if anyone has any other topics that they want to discuss, it's probably most helpful if they send them to you, is that correct?
Absolutely, and you know, obviously we're not going to say, well, if you don't send it to us by, you know, tomorrow, we won't do it. But I just wanted to get people thinking now so that we would have an agenda that covers as many concerns as possible. So, yes, a direct email to me and Glenn would be very helpful at any time.
Thank you very much. Just to make sure everyone on the council also has this information, there has been some discussion with Leslie from the CCNSO that discussion on possibly changing the way the CCNSO and the GNSO interacts during that weekend session. Traditionally what we've done is to have a lunch meeting between the two councils on the Monday. There's some feeling, I think, from the CCNSO that that's not optimal and that perhaps there are things that we could do together during the weekend sessions. Perhaps one of those could be when ICANN staff gives a briefing on topics that are of interest to both SOs, that perhaps instead of going to visit each SO separately, they could visit us together and we could all partake in that discussion together. So those are very early, it's very early days, it's just a preliminary discussion, but we are looking for ways to continually improve on the interaction that we have and the usefulness of the agenda that we have for these weekend sessions. Christina?
I just had a quick question. Do we know at this point whether the GNSO council meeting is likely to be scheduled for the morning or the afternoon?
Mary?
I can answer that. Actually, we don't. We've only just started talking about the sessions, and we haven't, you know, assigned any dates or times to anything yet. But that will definitely be something that Glenn and I will put as a priority item, because, like I said, I don't think it'll be helpful to anybody to be staggering around at 9 o'clock, not particularly coherent.
All right, thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on this? Any further discussion on anything? Well, in that case, I think we've just set a new record. I'll have to try and join every meeting late. It obviously helps. And we have finished 20 minutes early. Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks especially to those people who had to get up early or stay up late to participate in this meeting. And I'll speak to you all very soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stefan. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may disconnect now. Thank you.